In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Maybe we could just go ahead from the outset this morning and say that Jesus was not confusing his tenses here. Right? This was not a mistranslation. The King James translators didn't insert anything here. This is a bold and eternal statement. Before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. Commenting on this verse, Matthew Henry says, "This speaks Abraham, a creature, and our Lord the Creator. Well, therefore, might he make himself greater than Abraham. I am is the name of God. It speaks his self-existence. He is the first and the last, ever the same. Thus, he was not only before Abraham, but before all worlds. As mediator, he was the appointed Messiah, long before Abraham, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Matthew Henry. Don Fortner, the gentleman I mentioned a couple of weeks ago who has helped me in this study, pastor in Kentucky, says, "Those who have been saved by his grace can never doubt that Jesus Christ is God Almighty." What a statement. But what a foundational one. We have much to agree on with the Jehovah Witnesses. No, we don't. We don't. The infinite, omnipotent Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah. Who less than God could have put away our sins? Who less than God could have delivered us from the jaws of hell and brought us up from the pit of destruction? Who less than God Almighty could say, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world"? Who less than God could hear and answer all the prayers of his people? Let others scoff and mock as they will. Jesus Christ is God. We know that he is. The scripture states it plainly. And God's elect experience the very Godhead of their Savior daily. What a quote. I really appreciate that. And so today, our 13th lesson on the names of God, our second, dealing precisely with the New Testament. And we begin even more precise than that with this thought, the names of God and the deity of Christ. The names of God and the deity of Christ. And what we are intending to do, and this, what we'll do this morning, is we will reflect back on a couple of lessons that we had early on, lesson 2 and lesson 3. In lesson 2, we spoke of Elohim. We find that name mentioned first in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim. Here from lesson 2 is a quote, plural in form, but singular in construction. For example, the church is singular, yet we, plural, are the church. The body is one, yet we compose the body. The United States is, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God," that is Elohim, plural, is one Lord. John, which I believe that he did, those of you who know your textual criticism, I believe he said this, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." When Jesus was baptized, he went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so, we are asking precisely, is Jesus Elohim? Is Jesus Elohim? And the answer is yes, He is. In lesson two, we looked at what that word Elohim meant. What is God? Who is God? And it literally means the strong one. The strong one. Elohim is the strong one. Are there any verses in the New Testament that say that Jesus Christ is the strong one? Well, we'll reference the book of Revelation quite a bit this morning. But in chapter 1, verse 16, He had in His right hand seven stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. Who is this? This is Jesus. He is the strong one. Jesus is the strong one. Maybe it would behoove us to reiterate that point that we brought out last week, that we weren't sure who said it. We attributed it to Pastor Kyle, and he said he'd take it. And that is that if Jesus didn't claim to be God, then He sure didn't go out of His way to prevent people from thinking He was God. In fact, He did a poor job, frankly. If He didn't want people worshiping Him as God, He did a poor job keeping them from it. No, He is the strong one. He is God. He is the worshipped one, which is what Elohim means. In chapter 5 of Revelation, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Elohim, Jesus Christ, He is the worshipped one. He is the feared one. That's what Elohim means, the feared one. Again in Revelation chapter 19, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He is the feared one. Should we fear God? Yes, we should. Should we fear the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's pretty awe-inspiring here in Revelation chapter 19. He is the one who swears, Elohim. The one who swears, or the covenant bound. Elohim is the covenant bound. In Hebrews 8, verse 6, "But now hath He appointed a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." And, you know, you could look at the whole of chapter 8 of Hebrews, or the whole of the book of Hebrews, to read about this new covenant, this better covenant. Elohim is the one who swears. Elohim is the covenant-keeping God. Jesus Christ is Elohim, the covenant-keeper, bound by a covenant. Well, I'm not convinced yet, Brother Russ. Well, let's go to the second name. Let's go to the second name, and we'll spend more time here this morning, because this is very important. And if you remember from lesson 3, we looked at Exodus chapter 6. If you wouldn't mind, we'll be looking at several verses, just like we did in lesson 3. But we've got a little pattern here that we want to repeat as we go through these different verses in Exodus chapter 6. Maybe you had never seen this verse. It's interesting. Exodus chapter 6. The Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty." Remember what name that is? El Shaddai. "But by my name Jehovah, Yahweh, was I not known to them." Remember this? "By my name Jehovah was I not known to them." And we thought it seemed like somewhat of a contradiction here or a problem in the study of the Bible because, you know, we find the word Jehovah early on in the scriptures in the book of Genesis and Exodus. "I am the Lord." But here he says to Moses, "The people haven't known me by my name Jehovah, and I'm going to reveal myself by my name." And so what we tried to do was take chapter 6 and the following chapters and look at how God was going to reveal himself as Jehovah. And it was pretty simple to do because he repeated a refrain. He'd say, "And thus you will know that I am the Lord." You'll know that I am the Lord. In chapter 6, verse 7, "I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." Here, God starts to reveal himself. Jehovah, Yahweh, starts to reveal himself as their Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. Now, what I'd like to do is see if we can bridge the gap in our minds. Remember the two hymn books that you laughed at me about and I haven't got over yet? The two hymn books here, Old Testament and New Testament. And what I said was it should be more like this, right? Old Testament reaching. And what we'd like to do this morning is take the thoughts, the words of the Father, the words of God, the words of Jehovah, and use a prophet to reach out toward Christ and then look at the work of Christ in fulfilling. And so we have not Jehovah and Jesus. We have Jehovah Jesus. Okay? Exodus 6 verse 7, "I will take you to me for a people." Then Jeremiah says, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Here the Redeemer is redeeming a people, purchasing a people for himself. And here comes our Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter speaks of him when he says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained the mercy." Where did that mercy come from? It came through and by the finished work of Jehovah Jesus. And so here is the fulfillment. I'm going to call out a people unto myself. The prophet says he's going to call out a people. He's going to make a new covenant with them. The covenant by the covenant keeping Elohim, by the covenant keeping Jesus Christ, the new covenant, a better covenant. And where you weren't a people, now you're the people. Jehovah, Jesus, Redeemer, in chapter 7 of Exodus, verse 5. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Here is that refrain. I am the Lord. They'll know that I am Jehovah. When I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. All right. So here's judgment on the land of Egypt. God says, I am judge. I am the judge. I will judge. The prophet Ezekiel says in chapter 34, and as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge. Who judges? The Lord God judges. Between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats, there's judgment. God judges. But what does Jesus say? When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit. Who shall sit? The Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. What did Jesus say about judgment? Father has committed it unto me, He said. He's the righteous judge, as we read in the Scripture. So, here is Jehovah revealing Himself in the book of Exodus. I don't want to get too preachy. I want us to stay on point this morning that what God said in Exodus 6 was, I'm going to reveal myself. I'm going to show the people that they can know that I am Jehovah. I am the Redeemer. I am the Judge. And then in chapter 7, verse 17, thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. You're going to know, God says, that I am Jehovah by my exercising of power over my creation. It's funny to hear some try to explain the Nile turned to blood, and the muddy waters, and the Red Sea, which is really the Reed Sea, and it's only 6 inches deep. And I don't know why we try so hard. Some try to make sense, try to bring the supernatural down to a natural understanding. God is powerful over His creation. You'll know that I am the Lord by the way that I show my sovereignty and my power over what I have created. In chapter 8, verse 10, He said, tomorrow, and He said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto Jehovah. And the frogs shall depart from thee. Verse 22, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. Well, that's the Old Testament, Russ. Is there any proof that Jesus is Jehovah in relationship to His power over creation, power over the natural world? What did the prophet say? We'll skip chapter 9, we can go ahead and read that. We're there. 9, verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me. Verse 29, and Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall these be any more, there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is Jehovah's. All right. So what did the prophet say? Well, the psalmist, in the words of a prophet here, The psalmist, let's go over here to Psalm 72 and look at this. Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge the people, thy people, with righteousness, and thy poor with judgments. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. And so here we, I'll pause here. Here we have a psalm for the son of the king, Solomon. But you don't read very far into Psalm 72 until you start wondering, is there more here than just Solomon? And the answer is yes. This is speaking of Christ himself. In verse 7, in his day shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of this city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth, be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. We sing that, don't we? The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And so, Solomon is in mind here. But is it any disservice to the scriptures to say this points to that one whose name endures forever and ever, truly the Lord Jesus Christ? Power, dominion over the earth, dominion over the natural phenomena of the earth. Did Jesus have that in his day? Did he exercise such dominion? He did. The men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Here is Jehovah God. Here is that one, that same one that was revealing himself to the nation of Israel in Exodus chapter 6. You're going to know that I am Jehovah by the miraculous way that I demonstrate power and authority over my creation. You think it was a big thing to Jesus to say, "Peace, be still," to the raging waves? Do you think that really challenged him? No, why? Because he's the same one. He's Jehovah who said, "I'm going to reveal myself to you." Well, I worship Jehovah, but I can't equate him with Jesus. I hope that's not our case. I hope that's not the hang up in our minds, because he is. before Abraham was, I am. We saw in lesson 3 that Jehovah was the controller over men's hearts. Now, if you'll go back, if you're still near Exodus there, I don't know if you kept your place, but we'd be in chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14. God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. That is a supernatural work. I will harden. I will, on the positive side, soften. I will give them a new heart. That's something that only God can do. You know, we say it from the pulpit often. We can preach the gospel, but we can't change a heart. We can't do that. In fact, some men try in their authority and their leadership to make people obey and to conform to a certain way. And they're, it seems anyway, they're satisfied with that. If you'll do enough about what I say, you'll follow in lockstep. If you will obey me, then I can build something unto myself, as it were. But the well-meaning, the honest, the pure in heart as a pastor or the preacher, he understands that the work that is done in the heart is only done by God Himself. And even those children that grow up in the churches that we pray for quite often around here, the little ones, I think about your little ones a lot. I think about the awareness that is going to start. Leilani, I don't know if I mentioned her the other day, but when I came here 2 years ago, Leilani had nothing to do with me. Nothing. I mean, I would try, I would smile, and I would, you know, kind of joke with her. Stone faced. I mean, she did not want to talk to me. Really hurt my feelings. Well, just a few weeks ago, Patty, I said, good morning. And she said, hello. Just smiled big. And I asked her a question and she answered me at length, smiling the whole time. And I thought, well, isn't it a wonder to see children grow up and start to open up, start to see the world around them? And I think about them. I pray for them. And God will do a work in them early. None of them lost. But I understand, and you do too, parent, that though you dangle them on your knee and share with them the scripture, that the work in the heart is God's to do. Jehovah God. You'll know that I'm the Lord when I do a work in people's heart. Jeremiah says this, I will give them a heart to know me, that I'm the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. What right do we have to sing that? Isn't that Old Testament? What right do I have to sing that? We sing it a lot and I like it. We really have place? Do we really have a right to sing that song? Yes, we do, because God has given us a heart to know Him. And how has He done that? He has done that through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is that one. Look in your lesson here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, see that, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see that bridge of Jeremiah? I will give them a heart to what? To know me. God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He does the work in the heart. Who does? Jesus does. Jesus is the one that meets you on the road to Damascus. Jesus, Jehovah, I will give them a heart to know me. Praise His name. If you know Him today, it's because He's given you a heart to know Him. In Exodus 16, verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah. I am revealing myself to you. Reflecting back to chapter 6, they're going to know me by Jehovah. And here it is. I'm going to reveal myself to you as the provider for you. You'll be filled. The provider. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In verse 12, he says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. Are these bridging verses here? Is Isaiah 40 verse 3 a bridging verse from Old Testament to the New? Yes, we know it is. We see in who? The one crying in the wilderness. Who is that? That's John the Baptist. Preparing the way for whom? Jehovah. Preparing the way for Jesus. Jehovah. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. What did Jesus say? I am the good shepherd. In Revelation 7, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Here is the provider. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting that God Jehovah. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, as I provided for the people in the wilderness, I'm going to provide for you. As I revealed myself as the great shepherd, that shepherd of the flock, I'm revealing myself to you as the good shepherd. The shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 45, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am Jehovah, their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. Here is the desire of God to dwell among the people. Zechariah says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Jehovah. Here is the bridging verse. I will dwell in the midst of thee. And here is our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, lest you get too hung up on the eschatological part of that, what was his name? They called his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. With us. God with us. Not just a man. Not just Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary, and the so-thought son of Joseph. God with us. Emmanuel. He is that dweller with his own. When you recall the instructions that God gave Moses regarding the tabernacle, you remember the words that he said? So that I may dwell among my people. Now, a good study is to see Christ in the tabernacle. Is that fair? Absolutely. Then you see the house that God gave instruction for Solomon to build. The furniture. The precision. You see the glory of God coming and filling the house when it was complete. Can we see Christ in that? Absolutely. Should we? Yes. Because He is God with us. I'm reminded also of these words of Jesus. It is expedient for you that I go away. It is expedient for you that I go away. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? It's profitable for you. It'd be better for you if I left. That surely had to ring confusing on the ears of the disciples. It's better for you if I leave. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God, that same Spirit that filled the tabernacle, the same Spirit that filled the temple, came in Acts chapter 2. Same Holy Ghost. What was that? That is God dwelling in us. He is the dweller, Jehovah. Jesus, Jehovah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Elohim. He is the sanctifier of His own. In chapter 31, verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord. All right, here we go. That doth sanctify you. Sanctify you. The prophet, I ran out of space here, so I've just got it listed, Ezekiel chapter 37. What does a prophet say about sanctification? Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 24. David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. He is the God who sanctifies. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? John 17, in that wonderful prayer of His, John 17, He says this in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also Even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. It is He who sanctifies. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Who sanctifies? And God says, the world's going to know that I'm the one that sanctifies. The prophet says, the world's going to know that there is a God who sanctifies, pointing to Christ. And Jesus comes on and He says, I sanctify. We are sanctified by Him. Do you see a continuation there? Do you see a pronouncement, a prophecy, and a fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope we do. I hope I'm not resting the Scriptures. And if I am, and you're not, don't know about that, Russell. That's okay. We'll talk about it. But I think I'm right. I think this is it. I think it's Jesus. I know it is. It's Him. He is Jehovah. He is the sanctifier. And then lastly, in Exodus 33, verse 18, and He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That's Moses speaking. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord, Jehovah, before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Here is the Lord of glory. Here is the glorious God. Isaiah, the prophet, says this about the glory in chapter 60, verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. Neither brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, Jehovah, will hasten it in His time. That's what the prophet says about the glory. Looking to the future, looking to thousands of years from His own day. And what did Jesus do? Well, we read in 21 of Revelation, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is the revealer of the glory. Jesus Christ is the glorious God. Proverbs 8:22, we'll finish with this quote. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Is Jesus Jehovah? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. We can worship Him today. We can worship Him. Not as a man, as God manifest in the flesh. As God taking upon Himself the form of a servant. As Brother Fortner said, who else could save us from our sins but God? Praise His name. Thank You, Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You as we grapple with these things, and some of them are hard to understand, hard to grasp. We rest in the finished work and the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that You'd make these things real to us. Teach us. Father, we need to learn. I pray that You'd grow us. I pray, Father, that You would solidify our faith, grow it, make it strong. And as we face those who would cast dispersion, Father, who would reject the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we rest that He is our Jehovah. Father, we love You. We thank You for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.